My name is Linda Tirico. I'm 57 years old. It's August 8th, 2011. I'm in the Tri-Cities, Washington, and I just met the interviewer.
My name is Erin Dickey. I'm 25 years old. Today's August 8th, 2011. We're in the Tri-Cities, Washington, and I'm here with Linda, who I just met.
Work has always been an important part of my life, but I don't think it's ever been as important as it is right now. I began working when I babysat my younger brothers and sisters at a very early age. My mother worked nights, and so I was in charge of meals and homework and television all the time that she slept. As an adult, my friends and family know that I've always worked two or three jobs at a time. It's not unusual for me to be out and about more than 80 or 90 hours a week. I don't always work out of financial need. I have always felt that there are things to do and there are people that I want to meet. And for me, I feel like the time is passing by quickly, that the clock is ticking. And I've had some jobs. Everyone who knows me, I've had a lot of jobs. I'm not one of those people who started a career and stayed with it their whole life, hoping to retire from the same field. I've had a wonderful, eclectic job background, and some people say that my resume reads like a novel. I have always had parallel careers. I run two careers at one time generally, one that I make a lot of money at, and one that I generally don't make very much or any money at all at, but it's something that I love. So I've generally held two careers at one time. So when I work, I can make money or not make money as I see fit.
Can you tell me about some of the jobs you've had, Linda?
One of my favorite stories to tell is that I went to X-ray school 30 years ago, and I went for 2 years to technical school. And the 2 years that I spent in technical school learning X-ray have paid me more money than the 16 years that I spent in college after that getting advanced degrees. I love taking X-rays. It was such a great choice and a wonderful decision. It has paid me well, and I felt that I could always find work in healthcare.
And where have you worked?
Well, for the last 30 years, I have worked as an emergency room trauma tech across the country. I've worked in a lot of different states in a lot of different positions. I've worked in what they call level one trauma centers, where large accidents come, huge 1,000-bed hospitals, where there are hundreds of techs. And I've also worked in a small, long-term acute care hospital where I was the only tech. I've worked in most places in between. I've worked in clinics and offices. I've worked in medical settings and private practices. I've worked long and short-term contract work. And I've worked per diem. I've also had a few permanent jobs, as permanent as they got. And I've been a manager, I've been a supervisor, and I've also been a tech.
And so what other jobs have you had?
I have had many other jobs, actually. I began one of my careers as a waitress when I was young, and I was a waitress for one day. I discovered very quickly that I couldn't walk across the room and carry a tray at the same time. And so I failed as a waitress. However, I went on. I am still not very coordinated. And the same year that I failed as a waitress, I failed high school gym class. So I also was an assistant Sunday school nursery school teacher. My 12-year-old daughter was the leader of that class, and she fired me because she claimed I could not follow directions well. She may still say that. I also have been a hospice volunteer, and I shared the end of life with three women that I knew and loved who died of lung cancer. I also have been a juvenile diversion board member, trying to keep juveniles out of the court system and the jail systems. I've taught in a men's prison. I have been a hospital entertainment developer. I developed what we ended up calling the musical bookmobile. I got books and music put together on a little cart, and when I wasn't taking x-rays, I ran around the hospital and offered people things to do. I was a teen camp director for junior high extreme camp, and most people don't want to know what junior high people think is extreme. I led bike and hike camp. For 1 week, I was in the wilderness, never having camped in my life, with a group of 12, 13-year-olds. And I survived. I was a docent for Bodies, the exhibit, and I spent 6 months walking around the exhibit, talking to people about human anatomy I had never seen to the extent that I did in that exhibit. It was awesome. I also was a pastor. I have one of the only women church planters in the nation. I have planted a church. And I have been the radiology supervisor slash chaplain in a hospital. So when I wasn't taking x-rays, I was the chaplain for a hospital that dealt with many end-of-life patients. I also founded and taught my own radiology program. It was state accredited in New Jersey. And I loved that program, taught that for several years. And last but not least, I taught myself to write grants, and so I have written grants for nonprofit organizations.
And what would you say has been the most creative job?
One of my most creative jobs is that I am a patent-pending inventor. I, along with 1.2 million other people in America, am waiting to get a U.S. patent. I filed 3 years ago to the day. And am still waiting to hear about the status of my patent. I invented an attachable, detachable handle called Hold This. And it, in my mind, will be the next post-it note. You didn't know what you were going to do with it to begin with, but now you can't live without it. So I'm waiting for the patent, along with others. The other thing that I think is most creative is that I'm a life commentary writer. My friends have talked to me for years about writing down the stories that I tell about my adventures through life, and I've decided to do that. It's a pop-up book, which surprises a lot of people, and so my autobiography will pop up in the middle, and stories will be before and after that. The interesting part of that will be that it's interactive, and the stories that I tell, people will be able to respond to if they are in the chapter. They'll be able to write their own version. My friends claim that sometimes I tell a version of the story that might not quite be the same as theirs. So they wanted the opportunity to speak out. So I'm allowing them that opportunity in an interactive book.
Wow. And so who's working on making that? Are you making that right now?
I'm writing the life stories now.
Okay. Okay. And I had another question about the detachable handle. So is that a handle? What does that attach to?
It's made out of hook and loop, which we commonly call Velcro, and it has an adhesive back to it. So you peel the adhesive back off, and you stick it to things like a box that you would carry to the post office. You would stick a small handle onto the top, and it, because of the endurance of the Velcro, it holds together. And then when you get to the post office, you would rip off the top part, and the bottom part would stay on but be shippable. So it would go on many, many things that you would need to carry by hand. And then there's a handle modification that goes on bottles for the disabled, where if you have a large jug, like a milk jug, you could stick it on the side, slide your fingers in, and you would not have to physically grasp the bottle.
I see. Oh, okay. And I wanted to go back just a bit to your job. You said you planted churches. What does that mean?
There are opportunities in non-denominational church and some denominational church right now. They are looking at the fact that there are many generations of young people who are not in churches. And so they're looking for viable ways to bring church to younger people. And one of the concepts that I had originally in seminary was if we took church into the home, if you had it like a Tupperware party in your house, invited people over for a light meal, soup or sandwich, you sit around a kitchen table and you're having meals together, or the meal together, and then afterwards you talk about your life that week, what's happened in your life, and where you've seen evidence of either God or something moving in your life that you want to discuss with the group. In getting a group of people who are not related to one particular religious background, you have a lot of different experience, and people are able to recall their own life experiences in a way that often brings a spiritual sense to those who are seeking. And so my concept is that we should not be sitting in buildings. We should be sitting in our homes, inviting our neighbors, our friends, people who know us, into our homes to discuss our lives that is spiritual.
I see. And along those lines, I guess, what's been the most meaningful job or job experience that you've had?
That actually was the most meaningful job experience I had. I dreamed of doing it for many years, for about 12 years before I went and presented the concept as something that a denomination could do. I worked in a new church, and so I was very dedicated for about 12 years to researching this concept, and I was invited by the state of Washington, a national denomination, to come out here and start that type of church in Spokane, Washington. And so I started it and came to Spokane, didn't know anybody, and gathered a group of 16 people together. We worshiped and met in my home. They came for a meal, and we talked, and we taught, and we sang, and children were there and played at the table. And it was, for me, the most meaningful experience I've ever had, I think. It fulfilled a purpose. It fulfilled my purpose. I felt that it was the reason that I was put on the earth.
Oh. I'm sorry to interrupt. Just
okay.
Picking up your jewelry.
Jewelry?
Yeah, just your ring on the table. Do you mind?
I can't.
Oh, okay. Okay,
it
well,
won't.
Just, yeah.
I'll be conscious of it. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
It's fine.
Are we okay?
Yeah. That sounds like an amazing experience. When in your life was that?
That was in 2000.
Oh, 2000. And mm-hmm. You mentioned you went to seminary. When did you go to seminary?
Right before that, 1998.
Okay.
I was in Drew Seminary in New Jersey.
Okay. And can I ask where you grew up?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I actually did not grow up in one place. This move from Tampa to here was my 40th move. So I have been around.
All right. So what do you do now?
Right now, I'm unemployed. I have been unemployed for the last 14 months. I'm 57 years old, and I can't find a job.
How did that happen?
I was in Seattle, and I was working as a radiology supervisor and for the U.S. Census, which was a great job also, and was invited by a company that I had worked for many, many times for about 9 years to take a contract in Omaha, Nebraska. And so they sent me a contract. I signed it and quit both of my jobs, got rid of my apartment. I was pulling out of the driveway to drive to Omaha to start the contract, and the company called and canceled my contract.
Oh, my God. that sounds terrible. So what did you do after that?
Well, I went on to investigate what at-will employment means. At-will employment to me meant that I could be fired or the contract could be canceled at any point. For any reason, and I came to find out that I had no recourse. So for me, what it meant was that there was no longer something called job security in America. It came as a shock for someone who had worked for so long to find that out. So after driving from Washington to Omaha, I went and spoke to them. I drove from Omaha to St. Louis, from St. Louis to New Jersey, and from New Jersey to Florida. It took me about a month. I went and visited every friend and family that I knew in the United States to ask them what they felt my next move should be. I needed the time to consider what was happening at my age. And so I did consider it. It took the long route, and I polled everyone, and they all agreed on one thing, that I could do whatever I set my mind to.
And how did that work for you?
I went to Florida. My daughter had a home there, and she was gracious enough to allow me to stay with her. And it was a wonderful blessing to be with her for a year. In Florida, however, the job market has collapsed. Florida's only employment is based on tourism, and with the economy being what it is, not many people are going to the Magic Kingdom. They're giving houses away. The unemployment rate exceeds 14%. There's a glut of retirees there who are now forced, because of the economy, to work in jobs, making less than their Social Security or their retirement benefits allow, so they work cheap. So there is a glut of retirees. X-ray jobs there were non-existent due to an overabundance of for-profit X-ray schools that were putting out technologists without benefit of education, and they couldn't find any place to have people working after they left these programs. I took some classes at that point in grant writing and decided that I would begin volunteering for a large nonprofit organization, and I did. It was a wonderful job. I had a lot of fun. I met some great people. It did not pay the bills. So after a year, a friend came to me in May and said, you know, I just read that if you're over 55 years old and you're not working now, statistically, you will never work again.
That is a terrifying statistic.
That's absolutely terrifying. I went home and cried.
Oh, my gosh. So then how did you end up in Kennewick?
Well, my boyfriend, at the time I left to go to Omaha, had taken a six-month contract here in Richland. So we were getting rid of our apartment anyway because I was leaving for Omaha. And so he came here to Richland and took the six-month contract. At the end of that, took another six-month contract here. And so he convinced me. I came out and looked around the area. He said the economy is strong. There's less unemployment. The cost of living is lower. The weather's good. And he said the people are friendly. And I don't disagree. It's been great. He thought that there was everything here that we would need to be happy in our retirement. So we even went as far as looking at alphabet houses and deciding that the concept was just completely intriguing to me, and we're looking at the possibility of buying an alphabet house. So I was really excited when I moved here. I drove all the way back from Tampa to Richland, my 40th move across the country, and I made that trip in May.
Can I ask why was the concept of the alphabet houses intriguing?
This is the only federally built city that I've ever seen in my life. I understand there are a couple of others, but the interest for me lies in the concept of how it was built around Hanford, and the style of the homes, the floor plans of the homes. Looking at the Alphabet House Museum was a wonderful, enlightening thing for me to see the early advent of subdivision. I'm old enough to remember living in several, but none of them were ever federally built. And so history is fascinating to me, and I really appreciated the homes and their construction.
Okay. So then what happened after you moved out? What happened next?
Well, we got an apartment here, a nice apartment. We settled in after being a year apart. It was great to be back together again. And 3 weeks after I arrived, his second six-month contract ended and was not renewed because of federal funding cuts. So now we're here together in Kennewick, and we're both unemployed.
What are you going to do?
I'm in Kennewick to stay. We've had a lot of discussions, and I am generally very optimistic. I'm hardworking. I am creative. I'm versatile. And I am someone who is a very passionate disciple of Project Runway's Tim Gunn. I love his philosophy, and I will make it work. However, in my mind, thinking about this for the last 14 months, I don't think America is so lucky. I see that job makers have systematically removed a generation of very experienced, critically thinking, hardworking Americans from the workforce, and in order to reconcile the bottom line. I think that we need every heart and every mind and all the hands that we can get in order to make America work. In my mind, when I look at this today, I think the critical question is, if I can't work, how can America?
I don't know. So I have a couple more questions. Can I just ask what's been the most challenging part for you about the past year and a half?
I think the most challenging part is reconciling the dream of working for all the years that I did. The 30 years that I worked, I always thought no matter what I did, I could do it. I could always get a job. There was always something out there. And reconciling the realization that right now in America, I don't believe that's true. I don't think hard work and a mindset that says you will succeed will make it happen any longer. I think there are forces above us that prevent it. And I hate to use general terms like the economy, the government, corporate America, and yet this is the first time in my life, which has been fairly long now, that I have been confronted with the fact that someone like me could not make it work. I worry about folks who don't have 16 years of college. If I'm fighting like this to find a place, what are they doing?
Yeah. What would be I know that it's not just people who are above 55, although that is a terrifying statistic, but it's people of all ages. What would be your advice to younger job seekers who are, you know, in your same position but slightly different and frustrated because, they can't find a job either? Do you have any advice for them?
I do. I don't think it's any longer education related. I think America has moved past a place where education opens the doors. I do believe that relationships open the door. And I think that as a young person, doing what I do now, going around and being involved in various nonprofit outside organizations in fields that you're passionate about and you can put yourself behind, you will meet people. It's not what you know now, it's who you know. And it's in making connections that are valuable to people. Find a place that you can put your worth in, where your value is respected. Not necessarily in a job that's going to pay you a lot of money.
I was just going to ask, how have you been able, you mentioned you working, you know, so many hours a week before. I wonder how you've been able to cope with your time now. How have you been spending your time now?
Again, since coming here, it was fairly easy. I've found they're beginning a youth shelter for homeless teens. I'm getting behind that and writing grants. I'm looking at supporting a church, getting a church, helping them with pastoral care. There are various nonprofits that desperately need help. With all the funding cuts in America right now, nonprofits are suffering horribly. They can't afford to pay staff, and yet there are people with experience and gifts and skills that can be so valuable to keeping these organizations going.
I see. Was there anything else that you really wanted to say today?
No. I think that says it all for me.
Well, I know that just, you know, in this past half hour, I've learned so much from you, Linda, and I want to thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for letting me tell it.